Hello, this is Bruce Johansson, professor of biblical studies at the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. I will be your host for Good Word during the fall quarter. We'll be studying 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, letters attributed to John the Apostle. And to assist me will be Dr. Pedrito Maynard Reed, professor of biblical studies and specialist in missiology, author of many books and articles, and also assistant to the president for diversity on the campus of the university. A warm welcome to you, Pedrito.
It's great to be back, Bruce.
We will just converse together and talk about, I think, some letters, especially the first one, which is very dear to both of our hearts.
Little letters, but powerful messages.
Powerful. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I think John is disarmingly simple.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very, very powerful message for his addressees.
Over the years when I've taught Greek many years ago, we would start off our Greek students in their first year of Greek by reading a bit of 1 John because
yes.
It's simple Greek, but it has such powerful messages, you know. So they get introduced to the language of Greek via the epistle of John.
1 John. I think that's almost in every Greek course for New Testament Greek. And in a way, it's a bonus for the students because the style of 1 John is very repetitive, but not just repetition. He has this kind of aphoristic style, probably is very close to the wisdom tradition, I would say.
Yes,
where
yes.
he says something, and then he says the same thing, but with a little different twist. And you begin to see nuances coming, particularly in the first chapter, but also throughout the rest of the letter.
And if we could read the scripture like that, so many times we have a thought in mind and we say, okay, let me see if I can find a text in scripture to support the idea I have.
Yeah.
Instead of going to the word itself, and let's sit down in the shoe, in the seat of the author and see, what was the author trying to do? Why did he frame his words?
Yes.
Why did he use the word commandment again and again and again in parallel style? He must be making a point while doing that. And
yes.
I think John is a good classic example of how he gets this point across via a style of writing.
Yeah, and you know, you get the impression, we need to talk a little bit about the form of the letter and how John's name gets attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the impression as he goes through the letter, he addresses his audience as little children.
Yeah,
you sort of get the feeling that he might be fairly up in years.
That's right.
As you and I know, that when you get up there, you know that repetition is more necessary than you thought.
That's exactly
when you were younger.
That's exactly right. It says something
about
it. That's right. Exactly. The old chief likes to do that in Indian society or Eastern society.
Yes. But,
so you get that style. You say, he may be way up there in years, as you write. He's not some young buck.
But it's also good for the listeners.
Very good. Retention is helpful. It helps with retention.
There are some puzzles with this letter. How does John's name get attached to it? Is it in the letter? When you read Paul's letters, you got Paul at the beginning, you got James at the beginning of his, you got Peter at the beginning of his, but not here.
No, and I think there's some traditions that have said that John the Elder, or I think you've done a little bit more work in some of this than I. What have you found, Bruce?
Yeah. The second and third letters, he calls himself the Elder.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
in the second letter, it's the Elder to the elect lady.
It's a very interesting. Very,
that is also kind of, it may be a cryptonym for the church, the lady, because the Greek word church is feminine in gender in the Greek language.
That's right.
And the last one is to Gaius, but it's also the Elder to Gaius. But in this letter, nothing.
That's right.
We just start off, there's the prescript, and we're into the content immediately.
So how do we get to that it's John?
Yeah.
You know, who put that there?
I think if you read carefully the Gospel of John and 1 John, there are you hear certain repetitions, certain themes that recur, especially if you compare the central part of the Gospel of John and also the prologue of the Gospel
of John. That's exactly right.
He talks about the Word. He talks
about
chapter
light. 1, verses yes. 1 through 18.
1 through 18,
that,
yeah.
That prologue there.
Talks about light.
Uh-huh.
He talks about being manifest in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Incarnation is focused on in both.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's turns of phrase, abiding in me and I in you. You hear that in chapters 13, 14, 15, up to 17, I believe, mm-hmm. in the Gospel.
The love, do you love me? If you love me,
yeah.
You do this.
Abiding in love.
Love, yes.
There are also references, interesting references to the Holy Spirit in, mm-hmm. in both of them.
Yes,
and there's a focus on the relationship of Jesus to God. A very strong focus
yes.
there.
So
yes. stylistically, in terms of vocabulary, there's a lot of stuff that fits with John, and you don't see that in the other. So I think it's a good
I think we're safe to say that John had a strong hand with the guidance of the Holy
yeah.
Spirit
yes.
in the development of this.
There are some people who think that you have a Johannine school and that it wasn't
yeah.
John. And I think there's a quotation out of Eusebius,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
His history of the church, which makes a difference in actually – the verb tenses change. He talks about the Lord's disciples, where he talks about, Peter, Philip, Thomas, James, and John, and Matthew, and what they said, past tense.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to talk about two guys, Aristion and Presbyter John,
mm-hmm.
Elder John,
mm-hmm.
and what they say or are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's people who've played with that and tried to suggest that actually the author could be John the Elder.
Yes, yes.
And so on.
Those
are questions that we can never resolve.
We'll never resolve, you know. And the bottom line for me is that this is inspired by God.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people go spend a lot of time on who is, and those are great, who wrote and did they yeah. write, and those are great academic questions. But they're not questions that are vital to salvation.
No. Absolutely.
What is vital to salvation is this the word of God spoken through his prophet to the people
yes.
with a message from
yes.
God?
Does it minister to them?
Did it minister to them, and can it minister to us today?
Exactly.
Not to ignore the academic questions.
Yes.
But when I get to heaven, I'll turn to Jesus and say, now tell me, really,
yeah.
who was right?
Let him tell you.
he will tell me.
Yeah.
But, and it's fun to discuss it, but we must never spend all the time doing that. So I think in the classroom on Saturday morning, to spend time on this, it is good, but let it be brief compared to the amount of time you spend
yeah.
on what is a message there.
Yes,
so,
yes. What you say, though, very often is important, or how you say something is important to the message of what you say, I've
mm-hmm.
found very often,
mm-hmm.
how
mm-hmm.
something is said. And so looking at genre, that has eluded any kind of consensus in scholarship. I get the feeling, besides the wisdom style, the aphoristic style, I've compared John with a lot of other contemporary literature, Jewish, and found out that actually wisdom literature, particularly literature that belongs to the last will and testament
mm-hmm.
kind of literature. You have the patriarchs, the 12 patriarchs. And the exhortation that they give. The address, children, is very common. If you go back to the Old Testament and the Apocrypha and look at wisdom literature, the address to children repeats over and over again. And so I'm wondering if maybe John wrote this as one of his last works as kind of a will and testament
yes.
where he's going to minister to this group. Anyway,
this is very, very helpful, and I'd like you to even press this on a little bit more as it affects us in translation. Mm-hmm. But just even to make a point of the genre, the type of literature, why it's important, because too often when we study scripture, we read it as if it's flat.
Flat, yeah.
So we treat apocalyptic, prophetic type of literature The same way we treat poetry.
Yes.
The same way we treat history. The mm-hmm. same way we treat the Gospels. Mm-hmm. And we come to wisdom literature. Just this morning in my class, the devotional piece that I had was train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it.
Yeah.
And many people just take that as, oh, God commands me to train up a child. If my child turns away, it means I had a problem.
Yeah.
Not yeah. realize this is Proverbs. This is wisdom literature. This is not giving a command to everybody, and everybody's going to fall in the
same. It speaks of regularities, not of absolute
right.
outcomes.
And if you understand that type of literature,
yeah.
you will think of it differently than, yeah. say, the yeah. Ten Commandments with a list of things that thou shalt not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you look at wisdom and you look at John as a type of wisdom literature, you're going to read it in slightly different ways than
yes.
you if you were just read in, say, Acts of the Apostles.
That's right. So it's part of the literary context, isn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm,
and we
mm-hmm.
let you've moved in that direction. Let's talk a little bit about that. John is actually writing to real people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not a literary fiction.
No.
Why is it important? It's kind of like listening to one side of a phone
yes.
conversation.
Yes.
And, you know, you'll sit there and listen. You sort of maybe know the person and the person who's being talked to. And in your mind, you're kind of reconstructing what the other side is saying. Is that this is God's word. Do we need to do that? Is that an important element in understanding the letter? Or can we, like you say, just read it flat?
Yeah, and this is so important. It's like somebody just picking up something that I wrote to my wife. And they've never heard the discussion with my wife. And they don't know the background or anything. And they just read it because they thought I was a Northwesterner.
Yeah.
The person who knew I came from Jamaica, knew all the nuances of Jamaicanisms and
yes.
so on,
yeah.
would read that letter quite differently than if they didn't know that. And they
yes.
just thought, well, Pedro was born in Walla Walla. He thinks like a Northwesterner, totally.
Yeah.
You know, and I do now, after 20 years, think like a Northwesterner.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have my Jamaicanisms in
yes.
there.
Yes.
That if you know that, you're able to understand that letter
a lot better.
So much better.
Yeah.
So understanding the social background
yes. yeah.
to and understand what are the issues that he's addressing.
Yeah.
Because it's a letter.
Yes.
In a letter, it's not a theological tome. It's not a systematic
yeah.
thing where he has to explain everything so you know.
No.
I'm just writing the letter and I expect the readers to know what is the background, know what I'm addressing, and some things can be cryptic.
That's right. That's right.
So it's so important for us to understand why is he coming to that.
So when we look at this letter, we do get some indications about the background. Starting with chapter 2, verse 18, he talks about Antichrist. Not
uh-huh.
Antichrist, but Antichrists.
Yes.
And it's clear there that they are schismatics. They went out from the church, and he says they went out, they broke fellowship, because they really didn't have fellowship. They were not of us. And I think that's where we get our first clue to the situation
Absolutely.
That John is.
And if you can get to the final, what is the heretic, the schism,
yeah.
I think we can get to the heart of what.
Two things
yeah.
that they are denying. The incarnation
right.
of Jesus. And the relationship of Jesus to the Father.
Yes.
And that's going to be a big theme as
throughout this book, the letter.
Well, Pedrito, we needed more time. This is a wonderful letter, and I hope that as we go through this quarter, we will be blessed. I want to thank you very much for sharing your insights. I want to thank Michael White, our program engineer, for Good Word. This is Bruce Johansen. For more information about Good Word, you can visit the Positive Life Radio website at plr.org. Look under Programs for Good Word.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.